Okay, we're a junior producer. We produce gold and silver, primarily in Mexico. That is our focus. We have a mine there called San Martin, and we produce between 700 and 900 ounces a month. And we've recently acquired a silver project, which we're working through. It's about 2 hours away from the mine, so we'll be using current infrastructure to make that a revenue stream. Sure, the three revenue streams are, first of all, San Martin, which is our flagship, which we've been operating for 19 years. So what we're doing is we're adding in carbonaceous ore. So we process oxide ore, and then we have a whole other section of carbonaceous ore, which is carbon attached to ore. And over the last 2 years, we've developed a process to be able to treat that. We expect that to be online mid-March, mid-April, sort of give me a month in there. And La Tortilla is a little bit longer. We just acquired the project, I believe it was September, October, applied for permits for drilling and development. Those permits will come, I don't want to say easier, but they'll come more naturally because we're not looking to do any environmental impact in the area. So we should be able to deliver from those three revenue streams to the bottom line. Like I said, 18 to 24 months is going to make a huge difference for us. We're talking significant cash flow per year. And as a forward-looking statement, because it's in our PowerPoint, it's around 165 million a year.
Good day, everyone. It's just Steve Yang here with Natural Resource Stocks, mining stories that matter. And today I've got President and CEO Robert Eadie of Starcore International Mines. Robert, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. Thanks very much for having us once again.
Robert, every time I see you, you got new glasses. I like these ones just as much, but you're quite stylish today.
Thank you very much.
Robert, before we start, if you can give our listeners the website and ticker to Starcore.
Okay, it's Sam on the TSX, SAMTSX, website starcore.com, starcore.com.
Robert, if you can tell us about Starcore, the company, what kind of company are you? What stage are you in? And if you can tell us about your flagship and your projects.
Okay, we're a junior producer. We produce gold and silver, primarily in Mexico. That is our focus. We have a mine there called San Martin, and we produce between 700 and 900 ounces a month. And we've recently acquired a silver project, which we're working through. It's about 2 hours away from the mine, so we'll be using current infrastructure to make that a revenue stream. And what we're focused on is three revenue streams. One at the mine, carbonaceous ore, oxide ore, and the silver from what we call La Tortilla. So in the next 18 to 24 months, we'll be focused to develop those three revenue streams to deliver to the bottom line.
So you mentioned the projects being close together. Are they all close together? I mean, and if you can tell us about the infrastructure that's there. I know you mentioned some roads, but what's everything else look like and water and all that?
It's about 3 hours north of Mexico City in the state of Querétaro, and we have an operating mine that's been operating for 26 years. We've been operating for 19 years. We have a mill that has a capacity of about 950 tons per day, and currently we process about 625 tons per day. So the excess capacity that we have, we'll be using for the carbonaceous ore and then for the ore from La Tortilla. And La Tortilla is about 2 hours away from our location, so we'll truck the ore by or truck the ore and by paved road and to the mine and process. And what that does, Steve, is that allows us to add a third revenue stream without having to invest $40 million in infrastructure at the site. We're investing money now to upgrade our current facility to be able to handle the extra capacity or within our capacity and to make it all smooth.
Could you elaborate on the three revenue streams? And you mentioned a timeline, if you can elaborate on that plan.
Sure. The three revenue streams are, first of all, San Martin, which is our flagship, which we've been operating for 19 years. So what we're doing is we're adding in carbonaceous ore. So we process oxide ore. And then we have a whole other section of carbonaceous ore, which is carbon attached to ore. And over the last 2 years, we've developed a process to be able to treat that. We expect that to be online mid-March, mid-April, so give me a month in there. And La Tortilla is a little bit longer. We just acquired the project, I believe it was September, October, applied for permits for drilling and development. Those permits will come, I don't want to say easier, but they'll come more naturally because we're not looking to do any environmental impact in the area. We're looking to take rocks away. And at San Martin, our main facility, we have an environmental permit for another 12 years, and we have capacity there. And it's a very interesting note is what we use there is dry stack tailings. So we treat the ore. We do use chemicals. We do use stabilizers or equalizers, pH balance. Then we extract it back. And so we don't have a tailings dam. We have dry stack tailings. So what I like to say is we're environmentally sensitive. We're very much aware of the environment. And by extracting it back, we recycle the chemicals.
What's the importance of being environmentally sensitive? Why is that a priority?
It's a priority as a company as much as safety is for our employees and their health. It's a priority in life for us as a company and for me as a CEO, 100%. And if there's technology out there where that I can lessen the impact on the environment, then I'm going to do it. If it reduces the amount of profit by 15, 20%, 25%, I'm still going to do it because it's one of my life principles. Dry stack tailings means that I can sleep at night because even if it sloughs, even if the whole pile falls down, there is no impact because there's very little chemicals left in it. So it's not like a tailings dam where there's liquid and the dam breaks and it floods the valley and it causes an enormous amount of damage. And it's not always applicable. We can't always use this technology in mining, but wherever we can, I believe that 95% of the Canadian companies operating around the world will do their best to minimize the impact on the environment. And that's something that we as a mining, sector, as an industry, we do a very poor job of communicating how much that we do care. When you do have an accident, like we had one in BC, British Columbia, a number of years ago, there was three engineering companies involved. There was probably 40 engineers, and it was an accident. And I guarantee you the people behind that company took responsibility and felt very badly for it. But it's something that is the last thing on earth that anyone wants to happen. So that's why it's important. Health of our employees. We hired a doctor 3 years ago because we wanted to examine what they were eating and what the impact when they went underground was. We have custom-made vitamins that we have given the staff. And we have medical evidence now how that it doesn't improve performance, but it makes them get sick less often. It builds.
So you have your own doctor and custom-made vitamins. Is that typical of companies?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. It was an opportunity that came up. We, you know, it's an American company in Puerto Vallarta, and they make custom vitamins. And so we came across them, and it was fantastic because when you go buy a bottle of vitamin C or B plus or D or whatever, how much are the actual vitamins in it and how much is filler?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that there's a lot of filler.
Robert, I do want to ask you about what you have in the ground. If you can talk about your cost to drill per meter and how much are you guys cash flowing here?
Well, it's not really for us cost of drilling per meter as much as it is cost for processing because we're processing by ton and that in turn goes to the bottom line. And that's really subject to grade. So if you look at our costs being, say, $2,200, $2,400, $2,500, it varies from quarter to quarter depending on the grade that we're being able to process. So as soon as we impact the grade by 2 grams, the cost drastically comes down. And by processing, say, La Tortilla, the silver, The grade that we published there is about, that we think we can go throughput, is 550 grams per ton. And so that brings the overall cost down. And since we're administering another facility, that brings our administration cost down as well. So that all really affects it.
Do you, I know that you recently divested assets in Africa. Could you talk about that? What was the strategic rationale there and how did it fits into the overall plan with you guys?
Well, I see ourselves as manufacturers of silver and gold. We're a factory. We manufacture silver and gold, and right now the market wants silver and gold. So it was in our best interest to focus on those three revenue streams and to bring those to fruition. Africa was a diversification away from being a single asset company. And then what we came up with is we're able to dividend, or what we call capital return. So shareholders have a return of capital. So it's a non-taxable event because the company restructured in Canada. So we're able to give that out with our tax opinions from our experts. It still could be challenged, but I'll be the first one that will go to court to challenge it on behalf of shareholders. So you get a half a share of what we're doing in Côte d'Ivoire, and it'll be a separate company that'll be separately funded, and I'll develop a team over there. And Côte d'Ivoire right now is fantastic. If you remember in our original interview when I talked about my granny stock, which was Montage, MAU, they're having tremendous success in bringing a mine into production there. And they're doing a very good job, and it's very impressive. So that's what's going on in that country. And they have a strong mining code. And so unlike other countries in Africa, it doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't change. It keeps very much the same. And they have a system of where you pay 10% as a royalty, and that's stable. So that's why we're there. And then to focus on Mexico, that's why we dividended it out.
For our listeners, myself and my kids are shareholders of StarCore, and maybe my kids can interview you sometime, Robert. But they're
really, that would be great.
They're excited about the dividends. My guy thought that'd be a pretty cool idea, actually. But another one of the reasons why I did invest was because I saw the low risk and the high reward. But you know, you're an exploration company that's not only, you know, cash flowing, you know, safety and de-risking seems to have been a priority for you. Now, recently there's been a security issue with Vizsla Silver in Mexico, and you've emphasized worker security and safety as a top priority. And what are you guys doing? Can you speak about, you know, managing security, or is that something you're not able to talk about, or how are you prioritizing that?
Well, I can talk about it a little bit about Mexico. This is the first time this happened in Mexico at a mining site, the first time in all the history of mining in Mexico. And believe me, everyone in the mining industry in Mexico is deeply upset by it and deeply upset with the government. But one thing is, the area that they're in is called Culiacan, and it's in Sinaloa, and it's one of the worst areas for that type of activity. We call it the people that we don't want to do business with. It's one of the worst. There's another one, which is Guerrero, and they're extremely difficult areas right now. And it is extremely unfortunate, but I would say that all the mining companies in Mexico are looking at their security and what they can do. So gold and silver going up in price, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, as we've talked before. That means inflation is spiraling out of control. But it also means that, wow, that mine there, people, when they see gold, they really get unrealistic. They think it just comes in chunks. You know, they think you walk up to a pile and you take a chunk of gold out. They don't realize that, you know, we get 2 grams or 2.59 grams or 1.89 grams per ton of rock.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, but the misconception. So we also become a target. And I could say that, you know, if I was to discuss our strategy behind security, then it wouldn't really be security, would it? So we keep a low profile. We're very aware of it. We, even before, with the price change, we started to augment change at the mine. So in that change, we're extremely aware. We've changed some procedures and protocols to de-risk it, but lower the risk. And so, yeah, no, my heart goes out to the families of those people. It is was a shock. And normally, how do you say, around the world, kidnapping, it's a factor. We were just in at the Indaba mining show in Cape Town, South Africa, and they have a reputation for growing in kidnapping. And so I talked to somebody I know there who's been in security for his whole life. And he goes, "Yeah, we're getting a bad reputation for it." He goes, "What's happening is they're targeting the Muslim people because the Muslim people don't put the money in the bank. And the bad guys know that." And so that's what's happening there. So it's very targeted. And in this case, I think it was a bit of bad. No, it wasn't a bit. It's bad location and bad luck. So I know that the government is taking it very seriously. The miners have protested against the government for security. The head of public safety, which is the head of security for Mexico, I know he's very tuned into what's happening. So I'm hopeful and but also responsive. But like I said, in advance, we looked at this in September because of the price increase and said, we need to upgrade or take a look at what we're doing, procedures, policies, how we move, what we do, how people move, and so we're definitely on it and aware of it long before.
Robert, I want to shift gears a little bit and go to share structures. How much issued, outstanding, fully diluted, if you can talk about where you guys are at.
We're about 19 million shares issued and outstanding because some warrants were just exercised, but fully diluted, it's 103. And so it's still a good structure. Management owns about 8% of that. Well, the warrants, once that's all taken care of, that makes it 103 in total. So we were 89, and so I think some warrants just got exercised. What happened was that if you, for by the record date, which I believe was February 6th, everyone who owned a share of Starcore got a half share of the dividend of it's called EU Gold. And so people exercised their warrant to capitalize on that.
Is that in the money?
Oh, way in the money. The warrants are 35
That's
cents.
great. And then, are you fully funded for 26? How far do your funds take you? And I mean, how much do you have? Do you need to raise more, or what's the plan?
No, we generate cash flow every month and positive cash flow from our production. And so that's generally how we spend. When we did our fundraising earlier in the or last year, I forget it's already 26, September
Crazy.
25. That $5 million was to accelerate La Tortilla. And it was to accelerate the process. In the last 15 years, we've taken a couple of loans from high net worth individuals, groups out of Zurich who support us in our advancement. Otherwise, we've grown organically. We haven't done equity financings. And so this is the first one in a very long time. And I'm actually very pleased because we met shareholders like yourself and your kids. And we added 73 people from 7 countries. And so it really opened the story up for us and got us a broader audience for what we're doing. And so it's been good. So I expect, Steve, that we won't need to raise money unless that we come across some big opportunity and we think it's in best behalf of shareholders. We're very conscientious of a safety of our workers, health of our workers, our shareholders, our responsibility, our fiduciary duty to shareholders. Those are all priorities to us.
Robert, I love it. I do want to ask you about your market cap and what the plan is to grow in terms of stock price, or provide value for shareholders in that way. And if you can tell us the plan.
Okay. So the market cap today would be about 90 million Canadian, 90, yeah, about 90 million. And to grow that is the three revenue streams. The three revenue streams will grow that significantly. We're looking in 18 to 24 months. We expect it will be producing a lot of cash flow, and that in turn will grow our market cap. So, in keeping the overhead in check and then as low as possible. And everything is pretty regular. We go with a budget process. We replace equipment on a regular basis, so we don't see any intensive capital output. So we should be able to deliver from those three revenue streams to the bottom line. Like I said, 18 to 24 months is going to make a huge difference for us. We're talking significant cash flow per year. And as a forward-looking statement, because it's in our PowerPoint, it's around 165 million a year.
Wow. Robert, for people who want to know your story further, reach out to you for questions. If you can share your website, your socials, and if you can give your ticker one more time.
Sure. Investor@starcore.com. They can email company direct. Starcore.com is the website. The ticker is TSX.com. Or sorry, Sam at the TSX is the ticker. And
Awesome.
Steve,
Yeah.
before you
Yeah.
go, Steve,
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea
The kids.
for your kids, the kids, because it would be really interesting as to, because they're up and coming in the world, is what did they think of gold and silver and what their questions are and what their opinions are. It would be, no, I would love to do that. It'd
I
be
think you and
great.
I might regret that, but I'm glad that we're at least on the same page of maybe we'll do it anyway. But for our listeners, I want to make clear that StarCore Robert Eady, Robert Eady, StarCore is a sponsor. I am myself personally. I think some in the company, as well as my kids, as I mentioned, are investors. We and I am not giving investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. And one of the ways to do that is reach out to Robert. Seems like a decent guy, somewhat sometimes. But everyone, stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined, and do your research. Thanks. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Steve.